while it's important to know about unfulfilled prophecies, it's also good to understand prophecies that have come to pass. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah looks at leaders who rose to power after Daniel's time, foretold with specific details that read more like history than prophecy. All the more reason we can trust prophecies that have not come to pass. Here's David to conclude his message, The Archangel.
Well, you know, we're in a section where prophecy is just almost in every verse. And it's the kind of prophecy that I want you to take note of. These are things that Daniel prophesied years and years, centuries before they happened. And history now has verified the accuracy of his words. This is one of the most assailed portions of the Word of God because there are over 150 fulfilled prophecies that are reflected in this section of Scripture. As you read it, it's almost like reading history, but it was written many, many years before the events occurred. And we'll get to that in today's lesson as we open our Bibles again to Daniel chapters 10 and 11. This is what we have called the Archangel. Well, yesterday we talked about the prophecy that God gave to Daniel that was, well, it was delayed because there was a huge fight between the prince of Persia and the archangel of heaven. Now, as we understand the prophecy, we see why the angel of Persia, who represented Satan, didn't want Daniel to get the answer to his prayer, because the prophecy that he revealed is so overwhelmingly miraculous that it's a stake in the heart of the enemy. The inference in this story is that without the help of Michael, Gabriel wouldn't have been able to withstand the prince of Persia, and this prophecy intended for Daniel would never have been delivered. Apparently, God assigns the preparation for the vision. All of this is so important for us to understand the magnificent vision that will come in chapter 11. Daniel 11 offers a glimpse into events that were yet to come for Israel, foretold by the utterance of God and given to the angel to deliver to Daniel in response to his prayer. Someone has computed that there are as many as 135 fulfilled prophecies in these verses. The prophecies in Daniel 11 concern five rulers who were yet to come in Daniel's time. Coincidentally, the names of all five begin with the letter A. By looking at the reigns of these men, we will uncover the essence of the predictions outlined in Daniel 11. The first prophecy has to do with the man by the name of Ahasuerus, Daniel 11, 1 and 2. Behold, 70 kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. The first prophecy that the angel brought to Daniel concerned the future of the Persian government. The prophecy quickly passed over 3 kings that followed Cyrus. Then came the notable 4th king, Xerxes, also known as Ahasuerus. The book of Esther tells us that Ahasuerus reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. And the book indicates the scope of his wealth by recording a lavish 180-day feast that he hosted for all of his officials and servants. The record of this is in Esther chapter 1. He also commanded one of the largest armies in ancient history. In fact, on one occasion, he set off to invade Greece with more than 2 million men. But 8 months later, he straggled home, broken and beaten. Ahasuerus. In verses 3 through 9 of Daniel 11, we revisit the personality Alexander. We notice first his dominion in verse 3. A mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. The second king referred to in Daniel 11 comes on the scene 150 years later. Remember, this is prophecy. The description in Daniel 11, 3 and 4 fits Alexander the Great perfectly. He was one of the most remarkable men in history. He did indeed rule with great dominion, and he acted according to his will. By the age of 33, he had gained control of the entire known world, from Europe to India. And near the end of his life, he was crying in his tent because there was nothing left for him to conquer. His defeat is recorded for us in the fourth verse. When he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others beside these. When Alexander had arisen, that is, when he was at the zenith of his career, he died. His only possible heirs were a brother with a mental disability, an illegitimate son, and the unborn child of his pregnant wife. All were murdered within a matter of months, leaving no posterity. Daniel tells us that this leader's great empire was broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, verse 4. And history confirms that prophecy, telling us that it split into four parts, each of which was ruled by one of his generals. We have seen Alexander's dominion and his defeat. Now in verses 5 through 9, we see his descendants. After a chaotic power struggle filled with intrigue, assassinations, and a succession of wars, two of the four divisions of Alexander's empire rose to dominance, Egypt and Syria. They were significant to the prophecy because of their location in relation to Israel. Egypt is directly to the south, Syria to the north, and the fighting between these warring empires would affect Israel for years to come. Daniel 11, 5 through 20 prophesies almost 200 years of fighting between these two nations, and it's astounding to realize how accurately these prophecies were fulfilled. For example, look at Daniel 11, 6. The daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. History records that King Ptolemy II of Egypt, the king of the south, gave his daughter Bernice to Antiochus II of Syria, the king of the north. He did so in order to seal an alliance between the two nations. But in time, Antiochus's wife, an evil and power-hungry woman, poisoned Antiochus and murdered Bernice and her son, and the prophecy in verse 6 was explicitly fulfilled. Incredible. There you have Ahasuerus and Alexander. And now we come to the third leader, whose name starts with A. And this leader is Antiochus the Great, or Antiochus the Third, and we find his record in verses 10 through 20. Daniel 11:10 introduces us to Antiochus the Third of Syria, whose wars against Egypt were marked first by a series of defeats, followed by a series of victories. If you know your history, you will recognize the story of Cleopatra in verse 17. Listen to these words. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of woman to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or before him. Antiochus III gave his own daughter, Cleopatra, then only 11 years of age, in a treacherous marriage to Ptolemy V of Egypt, a boy of 12. He hoped his daughter would help him complete his control over Egypt. However, she sided with her husband and defeated her father's plan. So there is the prophecy concerning Ahasuerus and Alexander, Antiochus the Great, and Antiochus Epiphanes is now the fourth of the five kings. The period that we have just covered in Daniel 11, 5 through 20, spans 130 years. It involves a long succession of rulers. But when we come to the next section, and verses 21 to 35, the pace slows down, and we view just one decade, 175 to 165 BC, and we concentrate on one ruler. We have met this ruler before. His name is Antiochus Epiphanes. He was among the wickedest men who ever lived. He had no claim to the Syrian throne, but he deceived and finagled his way into power through bribes and gifts, just as Daniel had predicted in Daniel 11:24. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, the spoil, and the riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. Then, as Daniel prophesied, Antiochus Epiphanes stirred up a battle against the south, but he couldn't win on the battlefield. So the two stalemated kings agreed to a peace treaty, which both quickly broke. Verse 27, both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper. Soon Antiochus Epiphanes vents his anger on Israel. Verse 31. Forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. When Antiochus IV invaded Jerusalem, he erected an image of Zeus in the Jewish temple, and he demanded that the Jews worship it. He stopped all the Jewish sacrifices. He sacrificed a pig on the altar. The temple was desolate. No Jew could go there because Antiochus Epiphanes had made it an abomination. But as Daniel prophesied, a small band of Jewish patriots inspired a rebellion. Notice verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The apocryphal book of Maccabees tells the story of a family of brave Jews who led a revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes, finally bringing his reign to an end. At this point, there's a break in the action in Daniel chapter 11, and John Phillips explains. A clear-cut break in this remarkable prophecy occurs between Daniel 11, 35, and 36. The prophetic history is continuous right down to the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, and then it leaps over the ages and comes back into focus at the time of the Antichrist, of whom Antiochus was a type. So we come now to the fifth ruler, whose name starts with A. We have learned about Ahasuerus and Alexander, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus Epiphanes, and now in verses 36 through 39, the final ruler who is yet to come, Antichrist himself. Many scholars believe that the entire second half of the book of Daniel is just a preamble to these verses. All the evil rulers we have studied in Daniel 11 tell us that the ultimate evil ruler, the Antichrist, is ascending. Our previous investigations of the Antichrist have focused on his characteristics. But if you read chapter 11, you will discover it is more about his career. Rather than exploring every verse in this passage, let me just list the way the Antichrist is described in Daniel 11. We are told that he will do what he desires. He will deify himself. He will defy the true God. He will disregard all religion. He will devote himself to the military. He will declare war against foreign powers. He will defend himself against other nations. He will defeat some early enemies. He will develop great wealth. He will be defeated, and no one will come to his aid. As you study the Antichrist, here is an overview of this passage of Scripture from noted prophecy expert John F. Walvoord. Taken as a whole, Daniel 11:36-45 is a description of the closing days of the times of the Gentiles, specifically the Great Tribulation with its world ruler, world religion, and materialistic philosophy. In spite of its satanic support, the world government fragmentizes into sectional disputes, and a great world war climaxes with the second advent of Jesus Christ. And this brings the times of the Gentiles to a close with the destruction of the wicked rulers who led it. In a single chapter of the Bible, we have just covered an entire era of history that was accurately predicted in detail long before it happened. God gave us Daniel 11 to demonstrate in one little section of prophecy that when he says something is going to happen, it will happen exactly as he says it will. The whole purpose of prophecy is to teach us that God and his word are to be trusted. Yes, we can choose whether to believe or disbelieve. But our choice doesn't affect reality. Truth doesn't adjust itself to accommodate our preferences. Daniel is true, whether we believe it or not. I remember reading a story that illustrates that from Dr. Schuyler English. He once told of a man on Long Island who was able to satisfy a lifelong desire by purchasing a very fine barometer. When he unpacked the instrument, he was dismayed to find that the needle appeared to be stuck, pointing to the section marked hurricane. After shaking the barometer vigorously, the man wrote a scorching letter to the store from which he had purchased the instrument, and on his way to his office in New York the next morning, he mailed the protest. That evening, he returned to Long Island to find not only the barometer missing, but his house also. The barometer's needle had been right. There was a hurricane. As we look back over our shoulder at this incredible chapter of prophecies that were made by Daniel hundreds of years before they were ultimately fulfilled, where do we stop and take something away for ourselves? Here is Daniel for today. Number one, discover the power of praying God's promises. Daniel prayed the promises of God that were recorded by Jeremiah, and God heard and answered his prayer. According to Dr. Everett R. Storms, God makes 7,487 promises to people throughout the Bible. How did he know this? On his 27th reading of the Bible, he counted each one of them, a project that took him a year and a half to complete. When I was growing up, my parents used to keep a box full of God's promises from Scripture on the kitchen table. And every evening before we ate, each of us in the family would pull out one of those promises from the box and read it out loud. Almighty God has given his children many promises, and he delights in having us remind him of those promises, just as Daniel did. What are your needs? What are your goals and dreams? If you explore the Word of God, you will find your promise from God. So why not begin the search today? Number two, remember, God's delays are not God's denials. For 21 days, Daniel poured out his heart to God in prayer and fasting. And during those 21 days, it must have seemed to Daniel as if God wasn't listening. Little did Daniel know that God had heard his prayer from the very moment he began to pray. We can become easily discouraged when our prayers seem to go unheard, but Daniel reminds us to be persistent in praying. Take up the challenge to pray with perseverance. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't yield in bringing your request to God. He is listening. And the answer to your prayer may be closer than you realize. And then finally, don't underestimate or overestimate the power of Satan. More than in any other book of the Bible, Daniel gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the activity of our adversary, the devil. In Daniel 10, we learned that Satan is organized geographically, that he has demons assigned regionally. These demons were so powerful that they delayed the answer to Daniel's prayer for 21 days. While we must not underestimate Satan's power, neither should we overestimate it either. For in Christ, God has provided us with the strength and resources to overcome our adversary. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's quite an amazing story that we have studied, and we need to remember again that we have been called to spiritual warfare. I read recently that we need to remember as churches that our job is not to collect an audience, but to prepare an army, and we are in a war, and if you didn't know that before, you should surely know it now. We'll see you right here tomorrow on this good station.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Agents of Babylon, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.